Opinions expressed in the following program are those of the producer and not necessarily those of WKTV Community Media.
Family-owned Palermo Pizza underwrites this episode of Grand Rapids Ghost Hunters Paranormal Podcast. Located at 901 Gazan Parkway, Southwest Wyoming, and available at 616-531-8300.
We hear things in the deep dark night. We see things in the shadows, in the corners of our eyes. In mind and dim light, we sense things when they just aren't right. Our dealings are not with human flesh and bone, but rather with an essence that defies even the basic laws of nature, like space and time. These elusive selves challenge our logical minds, forcing us to take faith in the unseen, the unsubstantiated. We cling to theory, statistical inevitability, and the imminent manifestation of mystery. Brought to you by WKTV, I'm one of your ghost hosts, Wayne Preston Curtis Thomas. Welcome to another episode of Grand Rapids Ghost Hunters Paranormal Podcast. As always, we ask that you please keep an open mind about things that you might not easily believe as we explore the mysterious. We're going to talk about Gettysburg tonight, Gettysburg ghosts, as well as some local hauntings. If we had time, maybe some Michigan monsters. We're honored to welcome a radio celebrity. But first, let's meet my co-host.
I'm Brandon Jose. I have a Jose Paranormal History Productions YouTube channel. Been an investigator in the paranormal since about 2010.
And recently turned Bigfooter.
Yeah, over the last couple of years. I've done a few cases up in, or a few investigations up in the UP.
And you're really into history.
Mm-hmm.
You've got another show, or you do on YouTube?
I don't have another one yet. I want to eventually do like a history podcast, or at least go to different museums and stuff like that and do like history stuff. I haven't had the chance to be able to do it yet, but.
You have a YouTube channel, Jose Paranormal
History Productions.
All right.
So Jose is H-O-E-Z-E-E, not the Spanish spelling of Jose.
So you can check that out, right? Please welcome to the show. He's a legend in morning radio from 98.7 WFGR and Town Square Media, Jojo Girard.
Hey, thanks for having me. You've been on my show a couple times, and I'm fascinated by things of this nature. So I'm real happy to be here.
Yeah, we're friends. You and the radio station FGR, friends to Grand Rapids Ghost Hunters. You had us on several times.
Right
before Halloween, so we could promote. Usually something we were doing at Nick Fink's was most of it.
Right,
most of the time. Some kind
of
event.
Which I don't know if that place is that place open to go up again. I don't think it has.
Not right now. Right.
But you guys, did you not do? You did some EVP. Yeah, you did some EVP there, didn't you?
Oh, lots.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We have a career there. Brandon and I in Grand Rapids Ghost Hunters. We would go there every Halloween, whether it was some kind of presentation or they did. They brought the brewery in and they combined food and beer and food and wine, and then we told ghost stories and presented evidence, EVPs, ghost voices and stuff like that, while people sat and ate, different things we did, Halloween parties. But yeah, FGR was always a friend to us and we appreciated that. I'd go in there in the mornings and you'd have to unlock the door and let us in.
Yeah.
Give us some history about that building, though.
Well, they just re-separated them, as you know. It was 50 Monroe Northwest, I believe, which is downtown right next to the Bob. And for years, it was two buildings that were wrapped together by aluminum that had been older buildings from the 1800s. Leonard Refrigeration, I believe, was one of the buildings. And recently, they separated them. While we stayed in there and broadcast the whole time while they redid all this construction. So they separated them. And ever since then, it doesn't have that vibe that it had, which we felt it was haunted.
Yeah.
Remember we talked about
that. Yeah, that's curious.
There were some sightings of a ghost in that building, as somebody who used to work there, who I'm not going to bring up their name, but they had seen there who had passed away. And ever since they changed the building, I'm not getting that vibe anymore, although it always was spooky when I would come in there first thing in the morning, but now not so much. So I don't know whether sometimes you change a building around and it changes the dynamic or anything.
Usually it wakes the ghost up.
Yeah. Like, usually, at least during the remodel, usually it tends to pick up the activity most of the time.
Which they were working on a building when we were there, you know, right. Several years ago.
And I know even when we were in there, that's when they were talking about that they were going to eventually split the buildings up. Because it was at that time, it was one building or whatever.
Yeah.
Right.
And it had this weird space, and you know what I'm talking about. There was a space between the buildings that they had created to connect the buildings, right? And that was always a weird kind of a spooky space. I can't even put my finger on why. It was just, it was space that wasn't meant to be, kind of. And that's where a lot of these sightings took place, that people who, I never did see it, but there are some people who worked there, who worked late at night, who swear to God they would see, you know, this guy walking around in particular.
You're hitting it right on the nose, because it was late at night.
This
is from the case study that we did. It was actually in 2016. It was that long ago.
And Christine was the person who saw this person.
Yep,
who,
Christine.
Right.
Now, she was with a different radio station, though.
Right. She was with Mix 95.7.
Yep.
But she'd be working late at night by herself and would run across this guy who used to work there and was a really nice guy and was loved by everybody on the staff, but people claim that they saw him around. And in fact, I think when we talked about it on the air one time, I think somebody who knew him called in, if I'm not mistaken, and said, I know who you're talking about.
Right. Yeah, we need to include Brandon, because Brandon is the one that saw.
I've seen him. Yeah. I saw him, too, because I was like in her studio at the time. You know, they got like the little windows that look out down the hallway.
Right.
So we were in there. I'm looking out the hallway. I seen this black guy come with he was wearing a jacket like almost like a Chicago Bulls like warm up jacket.
Yeah,
it's got red stripes. Yeah. It didn't have any logo on it. But he walked in, turned into a room, and I'm like, because I knew it was members of our team. I think there were three or four of our team, and then like the two DJs, one from GRD. And Christine was the other one.
You got it.
And we had, I'm like, would there be anybody else that'd be up here right now besides us? Would anybody come in here in the middle of the night? Because at that point, all the stations are all automated,
right.
So it was just us. And she's like, no, there shouldn't be anybody else up here. So we went out there. I looked into the room where, like, he went into, and there's nobody in there. And like, I described what he looked like, oh, we know who that is. He used to work here. So
this is how you described it all those 6 years ago.
Yeah.
A skinny black man in what appeared to be a dark basketball warm-up suit with a red stripe. And then you must have said that exact same thing on the air.
Right.
And then a guy's wife calls you up.
Right. And said, you're describing, you know, we never used his name, and that was the thing. And she, off the air, I believe, said who it was. I can't remember now. I probably had a phone call saved somewhere. I should try to dig it up.
Well, I have Bill in my notes.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
Bill, right. That's my deceased husband.
Yeah.
And he used to show up late at night.
His job was to put the stations back up when they'd go down.
Right.
So I don't know if that was an active spirit, because it was part of his daily routine. So he may have just recorded his energy into that building.
Yeah, and that's what I wanted to talk to you guys about, because radio is one of these professions where people are usually all in, and they work a lot of long hours and off hours. And so that becomes so ingrained in their life that you almost become what I would be call like a radio monk or a radio nun, somebody who's so devoted to it that they're spending way too much time at work. Does that become part of the psyche? I mean,
I included stuff like that in my notes, because I think it is. And these reports that we were getting from Christine and then Rob Whittle from 957, it said it was always late at night. And you probably have some recollection of this. They would hear noises. And what did Christine say? She kept getting blamed for...
Well, I don't know if it was late at night. I don't remember what shift she worked. But she would have it, I think where there's like an on-off switch is off to the end of the control panel or whatever. So she'd be doing it, and the producer keep going, you're turning the channel off. Like, you keep, because the switch would keep getting flipped off. It's like, I am not touching that. I'm not bumping it. It's not near me. There's no way I'm turning this thing off. And she had gotten like an EVP recording too, like in the soundproof studio of like a male's voice. too at that point in time. Yeah.
JoJo was saying just creepy feelings. People felt like they were being watched.
Right, especially in that open space. And there were a couple other people outside of Rob and Christine who had said that they'd seen him in that open space. Do you remember that open space around the elevator? It was this kind of... And I always found that area to be spooky in the morning because the other side of the building wasn't occupied. And so there was this kind of dead space there. And it was always, you know, anytime there's dead space and you know it in your head, you're kind of, you know, I'm from Saginaw, you know, so I grew up in a rough neighborhood. So my head's on a swivel anyway. And when things get creepy, I kind of am looking around. But he was seen a couple times in there by other people besides Christine.
Well, Brandon saw his apparition, right? Just about two doors down from where your studio was.
Oh, okay. So in that back hall,
In that back hallway, right. Yeah. But we also got EVPs on the sales end.
Mm-hmm.
And it was late at night, and everybody was there. We weren't using any sort of devices. I said, please don't be scaring Christine late at night. And we recorded, and we all heard, yes. And then... and then the creepy voice, yes, like that creepy voice that you get, ghost voice. And I said, and don't be scaring the other people too. And the ghost replied, no, they weren't going to agree to that.
So I was talking about this remodel, and now the place kind of looks homier now. Oh. And you don't have those dead spaces, and it's not scary. I don't get that scary feeling. And we haven't had any incidents since. Oh, yeah. And you said, like, sometimes when you have construction like that, it wakes the ghost
up. Wakes them up, right.
But also, is it just the feel of it? You know, how much is... This is what I get fascinated by. How much, especially talking to you guys who talk about this a lot, how much is our imagination? How much
The mind is a powerful thing.
However, this is interesting because you guys never knew him.
Yeah.
Christine and Rob never knew him.
Right.
But when Christine and Rob would describe him, people would go, that sounds like a guy who used to work here. You know, so
that's confirmation there. That's
a little bit.
We're always looking for that, right? That's the most confirmation that I think that we've had. Now, Brandon doesn't get too excited. He's pretty even keel, more so than me even. But after this was over, he goes, this was the best investigation ever. He was pumped about it.
Yeah,
right?
See a full form apparition. Those kind of jump up to the top of the list.
Yeah, I'm still waiting.
Because I thought it was a living person. Like, when I seen him, I thought it was a living person in there. I'm like, who's this guy? He shouldn't be up here with us. You know, like.
Did anybody ever show you a picture of the specific person?
I did not get a chance to see a picture of him.
Okay, I should have.
It's so long ago now. Yeah. I remember like the facial.
Yeah,
I didn't really get a good facial details. It was so quick.
Well, the description of him was pretty close. I mean, physically.
Yeah.
Was pretty close. I don't know. You know, are there? Do you see faces?
A lot of times you see faces, but not feet.
Okay, really?
Yeah. That's why if you put your equipment, you don't put it right down on the floor or ground. You bring it up some if you're trying to sense things with different kind of meters and stuff.
So what is the theory about something like a situation like that? It's just a guy who worked late at night and was used to being there and just was home there?
Theory, you know, that's what we base a lot of our stuff on, a theory. And there's basically two theories, residual and intelligent haunting. And we're kind of up in the air about, because they present themselves the same way. But it did not acknowledge Brandon. It just did its thing.
Just walked by? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this guy walked on my way and turned into the other room. So that's why I didn't get like an EVP. Like, we tried to do an EVP session, so we didn't really get any responses. But of course, in that studio, though, she did get EVPs or recordings of voice in there. So it's hard to say there wasn't enough there for us to say it was an intelligent haunting. But it was part of his daily routine, so he may just have imprinted himself in the building. Like, his energy's just there.
Residual energy playing like a movie, just, and through the years.
You'll probably see my hulking frame go through that building long after I'm gone.
Yeah, we'll have to do another one in a few years. Yeah. There goes JoJo.
Ignoring everyone again.
Yeah. Are you in the same suite, or did they move you around?
They moved us around. It's really strange because when you go through something like that, and the interesting thing was they kept us in the building, which I thought was interesting, you know. So we were there the whole time they were reconstructing these two old buildings and restoring them right through the construction, which was, interesting because you would think that there, you know, it was disruptive, especially for an audio company.
Were you fifth floor?
Yeah. But they moved us around so much now and they redesigned it that I kind of know what it used to look like, but I can't picture it in my mind now how it used to go. Because we used to have a connection between the two buildings, and of course they bricked that off. And so it's hard for me to get even, like when we're talking about this now, I'm trying hard to remember what that space looked like.
Yeah. I wonder if maybe the ghost likes it better like this now that it is two buildings.
Right.
Again, like it,
or maybe stayed
was.
In the other building.
Or maybe, yeah. Maybe,
maybe he got caught in the other building.
Right.
And, yeah. He stayed over there because I haven't, and no one who works there late at night even has even mentioned that. That they've had any issues.
Well, that's good, I guess. I mean, of course, we probably did a bit of a blessing and smudging when we were there. Our indication was what Brandon saw very well could have just been residual energy, not a spirit attached to it. But when I told the ghost, don't be scaring Christine, and I get a intelligent response, that's a spirit involved there. So we think maybe there was both going on.
Well, I think too, if I remember correctly, I think in the sales office once there was like a report of a woman seen there. And I think that's where we got the EVPs from.
Yep.
So that might have been, it could have been her spirit may have been an active, intelligent spirit. So it's hard really to say. But there was activity over by her booth in her studio, so it's hard to say.
So when you saw this, and you hadn't talked to Christine about anything she has seen, so
yeah, I hadn't seen.
So
like I didn't.
So when
that.
You told her what it looked like, it compared to her what she was seeing.
At that point in time, I don't think she had seen anything.
Okay, she was just having the.
She was
the
just
buttons.
Having the experience,
right?
Again, because like she wanted us in because she's like something just keeps turning my station off on me. It's like I can't have that because I can't be doing my show with it off.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I got her saying noises, door closed, and then Rob heard talking in the hallway, feelings of being watched and followed during the evening hours, like JoJo pointed out, and just that feeling of a presence, cold spots, dark shadows. But Brandon was making reference to the blue lady that was seen over in the sales area.
Yeah.
Also.
Now that, I remember you guys talking about that when you were on with me, but that I know nothing about.
Yeah, a couple different people saw it in different times and then haven't seen it again since. So yeah, ghosts are fun stuff. I mean, that was maybe not my best, I guess, investigation, but Brandon's by far.
Yeah.
Have you seen apparitions?
I never have.
No, you never have?
No.
I thought he might have one time, but it was a bat flying in because we heard him scream on one of his face. A bat flew in his face. Like, did you see a goose? I thought maybe he saw one finally, but it wasn't.
But, and we talked about this last time, I think, or we've talked about it on the air, the what do you call it? Empath?
Empathic?
Where you just have, this is what I get. I've never seen anything either, but I get weird feelings.
Oh.
You know? And sometimes I think I can imagine something. But I like at Gettysburg, you know, that thing was all about feelings, you know, just sensing stuff. And then I think so let me ask you this, because you guys are kind of more experienced in it. So how much plays into it? So I'm a history buff, much like Brandon. So I know how that Gettysburg battle unfolded. And I was visiting sites based on how it went down. And there's a place there called the Devil's Den.
Yep, that's on
where,
the list.
Right. Where a unit from Alabama was advancing on a unit from Maine and overwhelmed them at first, but then this unit from Maine kind of had a comeback and slaughtered a bunch of Alabama boys in that thicket. And I knew about that, and I knew what I was, but it just felt weird. The battlefield felt weird from the moment I was on it, much like the feelings I would get in that hallway. But then I looked down in Devil's Den for a brief moment. I swear to God, I saw dead soldiers. But it was just like that. How much of that is my brain just going, well, you know what happened here, and you're kind of envisioning?
Well, I'm wondering about you. Had you had anything when you were growing
never,
up?
Never.
And family had any?
Well, I grew up in an old house, and there are parts of the old house that were creepy to me and my brothers and sisters, but I never saw anything or felt anything. It was just creepy because it's an old house and it was dark.
Grandma didn't say that she was seeing ghosts?
No.
Yeah.
But, you know...
I think you're just one of those people.
Yeah.
Extra sensitive.
But how much of that is that knowledge of what I was going into? Oh. You know what I mean? Like the
kind
ghost...
predetermined.
Right. Like the ghost at the radio station, somebody had mentioned that already and mentioned this person's name. Well, now I'm sensing that. So how much of it is like it just in my brain, or how much of it is...
I think it's the right person, right place, right time. That's what I think.
Yeah, I think you're right.
That's what adds up to people seeing ghosts. Brandon, if he would have had his camera pointing down that alley, we'd have pictures of that one.
Yeah, I had it down the other one, and I got knocked down at some point in time, too. So, like, I had it down the wrong hallway, and then I got... The camera I did have got knocked over, but I don't know, like... One of us just bumped it going over and like that knocked it over or what. But
you just might be one of those people. I mean, you didn't see anything in the radio station, but how many times have you been to Gettysburg?
I've been there twice.
And had experiences both times?
Yeah. But, you know, and then the second time then you go and you're almost anticipating it, you know. Whereas the first time it kind of creeped up on me. But, you know, as you know from that... From that book you let me use by Nancy, there is called Civil War Ghosts and Legends. That area has a lot of history of hauntings. But I don't know if I told you this story before. It's a good friend of mine, Johnny. His wife is from Gettysburg. And when they were going out together, he went up to visit their parents. And he got up in the middle of the night to use the restroom. And he's walking down this hallway. And he sees a Civil War soldier in a rocking chair. And he, like, does a double take. And this guy is, like, the biggest skeptic in the world.
Oh.
So for him to tell me this, I think it was only after I told him about my Gettysburg story that he goes, let me tell you something.
Oh, yeah.
So he went and used the restroom. And the next day, he was real hesitant to talk about it with his fiance and her parents because they're going to think I'm nuts.
Right.
But somehow it came up in the conversation, and they just casually said, oh, that's Sam. And he's like, what? He goes, no, there's a Confederate soldier that comes every once in a while, and he just sits in that rocking chair and doesn't talk to anybody. We see him. He comes and goes.
That's why a lot of people don't tell their stories. People think I might be crazy, but that's Brandon and I have heard that so many times when we're doing interviews from people. You might think I'm crazy, but, you know, I think someone's watching me while I'm sleeping. We've had a case like that where we had hardly anything to go on, and then we come up with a name, Eugene, which isn't a real common name, and we had no previous knowledge of this, and we kept getting this Eugene, and we said, do you know Eugene? He says, yeah, that's my grandfather, and that's his desk right there.
That's what we're getting activity off of was one piece that he had inherited from his grandfather.
Where were you hearing the name Eugene from, though?
That's the recordings that we were getting.
Oh,
we had
Eugene.
We had EVPs and like when we were doing like a spirit box. Spirit box much more not as hard evidence because it's going through radio stations. But the theory is that they can use that to communicate, kind of a thing. But then we were getting EVPs with Eugene, which that tends to confirm it. Because EVPs to me is much more legitimate than doing like a spirit box session. Because spirit box, you are getting radio jump through it, but
up in your area there, I didn't have any sort of any device. I just asked a question, recorded an answer. Yeah.
Well, but, go ahead.
No, I think we kind of got off Gettysburg because it's a 3-day battle, about almost 51,000 deaths.
Mm-hmm.
Bodies were 3 foot high, 6 foot wide. Many of the dead remained unburied. They had mass graves. Or some of the corpses were exhumed and then reburied. This makes for unrest. That whole scenario makes for unrest.
Plus, it was an era, too, if I'm not mistaken, where you could be perceived as dead and not be dead.
Oh, right.
I mean, there were cases of people being buried alive.
Oh, exactly.
And that would cause unrest as well.
Yeah.
But, you know, is that a common thing? That you guys see that young death?
Oh, that's you're asking about that.
Like, because all these are boys, basically. They're between the ages, probably, of 16 to 24.
Right.
They were cut off probably prematurely in their life.
Yeah, that's the definition of unfinished business right there. And that's the number one thing that seems to bring people back. But whether Gettysburg is residual or intelligent hauntings, probably a combination, probably certain areas are replaying. And what I found out through reading is that a lot of the stuff where people are hearing phantom cannons and that is happening while they're having reenactments. So here are these ghosts seeing the war going on. I thought, like, hey, I thought this war was over. No, we're fighting. We're still fighting. So that's got to confuse the heck out of the ghosts.
There was one story, like when they were filming Gettysburg, I think there all of a sudden was like a storm all of a sudden came up, like between like the flashes of lightning, they'd see extra soldiers with them. Like the reenactors would be like,
yeah,
I don't, where'd these other guys come from?
I don't think it was your imagination. Yeah. There's phantom cannon fire, ghosts crossing the 40 miles of the fields, and then you talk about the emotional energy and about the amputations where they were cutting everybody's limbs off back then. So that all that emotional, cameras stop, voices, like I say, cold spots. One of the stories was about they got on this elevator. Instead of going up, it went down. It opened up. And here was one of those makeshift doctors and nurses that were amputating people.
Yeah.
And the doctor looked over at him.
And was asking for help. They're like, okay, we need to go back up.
Yeah. We've been on some of those elevators.
I'm not going to be recorded or become a Civil War nurse all of a sudden.
Yeah, let's take this, go up. We've been on those elevators that seem to have a mind of their own at some of the haunted places we've gone to.
Yeah, we've had ones where all of a sudden we didn't know if it was going to open, or we'd get into it and then it wouldn't go down. As soon as we all got off the elevator, then it went down without us.
Some of the famous places, the National Military Park, Gettysburg National Military Park, Saks Covered Bridge, Gettysburg Hotel, Devil's Den.
Devil's Den.
Also called Slaughter Pen.
It was just I'll tell you what happened. It was, because my daughter was with me. She was probably 8 or 9 at the time. And I was just, you know, like I said, I knew about the battle. I knew what had happened here. I was watching it. And remember, I don't know if you guys remember the Ken Burns Civil War.
Yeah.
Special. I just watched that too. So it was like that was all fresh in my mind. What I did is I looked down in Devil's Den. I saw dead gray covered bodies for a split second. Then I looked back up. I looked back down again. I'm like, and your mind goes, did I see that? Or did I just want to see that because I know what went on?
Huh. Yeah. Yeah, there's so many other people who have seen stuff though. Yeah. Devil's Den, 180. Confederates died and 800 Yanks.
Wow.
At that alone, right?
Wow. I had no idea it was that many people.
Yeah.
Oh, I got to tell you this while I'm thinking of it, because this happened. I lived on the East Coast for a while, so I was in a day's drive of a lot of Civil War battlefields. I lived in Baltimore, and Baltimore has some interesting places that are supposedly haunted too.
Oh,
I
mean, that's an old battlefields?
Town. No, it's just an old town. Edgar Allan Poe is from there, and that also causes a lot of, you know, because he was kind of into that stuff. But I went out to Antietam, which is another battlefield, and I was on my bicycle, and I was just following the flow of the battle. And I felt, this is the weird one, I didn't see anything this time, but I felt drawn to this thicket of trees away from a clearing into the woods. And I went back there, and I found a note. And some flowers, and somebody, because it was the anniversary of the battle, was the weekend before, somebody who was related to this guy who died there had come and put flowers there and a note. But I wouldn't have seen it unless I was drawn to go back there. And another weird thing happened to me in Antietam too. I was in this it's called the Sunken Lane, another famous battle scene. And I'm riding my bicycle, and an acorn whizzed by my head. And I looked around, and there was nobody there. And this is the first time I've told anybody the story, because I felt like I'm going crazy.
Yeah.
But the the note thing, you know, people do leave notes. I mean, it was from a great-granddaughter who said, you know, whatever the guy's name was, I can't remember what it was now. You know, we remember you, you know, just a remembrance is... part probably, I think it was 150th Does that sound right?
Yeah.
Anniversary would have been around 20.
I think so.
Yeah.
Oh, 09. Around,
it's around, yeah. It's around that 150.
Yeah. 2015, yeah. Somewhere in there.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So there was a no, but that could have been coincidence. But the acorn was weird.
I think you might be attracted or something, or they're attracted to you. You might be a beacon for them or something.
Why?
Here comes JoJo. Here comes JoJo.
Why are you throwing acorns at my head?
I think you pissed off a squirrel or something.
Yeah. Well, that could be too, but it shot like, you know.
Yeah.
You know,
but it didn't just drop down.
Well, that's what
down.
The thing is, you know, right. your mind plays tricks on you, right? And you were talking.
I think you're seeing real stuff in Gettysburg.
Yeah.
They bill it as one of the most haunted places in America. It's one of the top 10.
I believe it because, like I said, there's just the minute you get out of your car and you start walking the battlefield. I don't know. I'm not gonna say everybody's gonna have this experience, but from the minute it was like, there's something off here.
Catering to that. You know?
Yeah, and it's
they're
heavy.
Denying it.
It's heavy. Does that make you know?
Oh yeah, maybe. Brandon might. He's like. Like you were saying, maybe he's got that kind of feelings where he gets empathic.
Yeah.
You know, he feels extra
sensitive. Yeah, if you feel like a heavy, it's usually a lot of times when I feel that way, I'm usually like, oh, there's a spirit here. It's either that or either have like, because I've had like certain like investigations, like you feels normal, all of a sudden you go into one certain part of the building and you're like, there's something here because this is a much more pressure in this room than, that's the way I usually feel. I usually feel it's like a heavy pressure. Like you just tell, like,
I suspect you're the same.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
it could be like that room too. It can be at certain times it feels that way. Other times you go in there, it's not there. So it's like, it's not a consistent thing because I don't think they sit in one spot. But when they're there, like you can feel, a lot of times I'll feel, the room will just feel heavier.
The emotions of this war anyway. It's
right.
Family against family.
Right.
You know? And that kind of conflict. I want to ask you guys about this. I'm thinking maybe war. There's something about war and fighting and killing people that just doesn't set well with the human spirit.
I think you're right.
Our conscience.
And I think that weighs upon anyone's soul if you're human at all. Because you're right. These guys, did they believe what they were fighting in? And why were they there? And when you think about it, war is pretty silly from a standpoint of, I mean, it's not silly, but it's stupid sometimes. You know, it doesn't make any sense. And I think that particular war, they were fighting for something, the North was, to free people. But I get the feeling that the Southern soldiers may not have had their entire heart into it.
Oh, right. But
when you factor in, too, like most of the Southern soldiers didn't own slaves.
Right.
So most of it, there wasn't really a benefit to them.
Right. They're fighting for rich guys.
Yeah. Yeah. Because the rich guys would just pay their way out and go make all the poor people go and fight for them. So.
But even look at what's happening nowadays and people come back from war and they can't handle it.
Right.
I mean, we train them to fight. We don't train them to enter society again. They ought to spend as much time to train them to come back into society as what they spent to war in the first place, I think. And there's something about the human spirit that just doesn't like that.
No. No, I agree with you. And, yeah. And you're right. The whole battlefield of Gettysburg just has a sense of that. And again, I always tend to go, and I don't know if this plays into it. I'm sure it does. I always tend to go around the time of the battle, like the same. So I can see what it looked like, you know.
Yeah, good thinking.
Like, Gettysburg was around the 4th of July. I think it was the first 3 days of July in 1863. And so I would go one of those 3 days. And because not only did they have, like, they have things going on, too. I mean, they would be, like, reenactors would be there. Yeah. And it's kind of a cool thing. But I remember too, this doesn't have anything to do with ghosts, but the famous battle, or the famous thing at Gettysburg, is a thing called Pickett's Charge. So the South knew they were up against it, and so they just decided, we'll just take everybody we got and rush towards the Union lines and try to win this thing at the last minute. And I remember I was at that point, and I was looking around going, where could I have hidden? Because I do not want to charge into cannons.
Yeah.
Because the Union just wait for them and just mow them down with cannons. And I remember looking, going, there's a cornfield back there. I wonder if I, you know, if I was there, because I always imagine, what would it be like to be in that situation? Would you be able to handle it? You know, and I was thinking, nah, I'd run through that cornfield and try to get out of here.
No doubt. Yeah, Gettysburg, I don't know if there's another place. I mean, they say that in America, that is the number one place where so many people have died. And who knows? The South did not fare as well when it came to digging up bodies and being reburied. You know, the Union soldiers were at least buried properly, as many of them as they could find. And that in itself can be unrest for a spirit if it's just, you know, it seems like we need a few words said over us.
Yeah.
You know, prayer, and then you rest in peace. If you never have that, and like you say, you're so young, you've never had a chance to live your life, yeah, that doesn't set well with the spirit, I think. I think that's part of what's going on there.
Yeah, and I think there was a lot of reinternment, too. Like, afterwards, I think they dug up some places and moved people.
And yeah. The ones that they could find.
Right.
So how many of them didn't get found? They cater to this in Gettysburg. They have different tours that you can take. And if you happen to be on a team, a ghost hunting team, paranormal team, there's different inns you can stay at. Yeah. Now, one of the other things, that Jenny Wade House is one of the places where you can go. It's supposed to be haunted.
I've heard of it. I have never
been. Jenny Wade?
Yeah, I've heard of Jenny Wade.
The only civilian to have died during the Gettysburg.
Really?
Those 3 days. Yeah. She was like making bread in her kitchen or something, and then sniper fire killed her. But she's the only civilian to have died.
That name's familiar, and I don't know whether I think I probably saw the house and didn't go into it.
I bet. Yep. The Jenny Wade house. There's quite a few of them. There's different places. The Tilly Pierce House Inn, you know, that was a 15-year-old civilian nurse. Was famous there. And a lot of this stuff, these buildings just became makeshift hospitals.
Yeah, pretty much about everything. If it wasn't a headquarters, it was a makeshift hospital, like anything around there. So you have all those people that they're, you know, it's all you can do.
And they made a real concerted effort, I think, there to keep, especially the area right by the battlefield, to look like it did then.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's a commercial district, obviously, you know, with your McDonald's and everything like that. But when you get close to the... And I don't know if that's protected at all. I assume that it is,
right?
Yeah. That they can't move certain things. And that's, I think, where the Jenny Wade House is like right near there.
From where we're sitting here right now, it's about a 10-hour drive.
Yeah.
Maybe a little less.
But I highly recommend it if you're a Civil War fan, that, you know, if there's any Civil War buffs that are here to visit a battlefield, you know, I find it fascinating, you know.
So you were closer when you were over east, huh?
Right, right. I was in, Gettysburg is probably an hour from Baltimore, yeah. Antietam was an hour and a half.
Yeah, I'd say that'd be worth the drive.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's definitely on my bucket list as far as I have to go. I want to go up to Little Round Top, so I don't want to go this year. It's like they have Little Round Top closed for... renewing stuff over there. Yeah.
Yeah.
They have to like make it more structurally sound, the hill or whatever.
Yeah, especially if you're a student of history.
Yeah.
Because when it's laid out before you know, you can see how everything played out. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, mine related to Strong Vincent, who was the colonel that put his troops up on Little Round Top. And has the rock marked where he got shot and then ended up dying like a week later or something like that. But yeah.
Yeah, there's a couple dedicated statues to Michigan regiments that fought there.
Yeah,
they claim that a lot of people see General Robert E. Lee.
I didn't get that privilege.
Photos. They have photos.
Really?
Yes. And then, but one of the weirder stories is it was one of the battles, and I guess the Union soldiers weren't doing too well. They saw George Washington leading the troops.
In the actual battle?
Yeah. And it wasn't just, you know, a few of them. That was the whole story that went around, that they all saw George Washington leading the troops.
Well, you know, I would have to imagine that in the heat of a battle, you could imagine all sorts of things.
Yeah, right. You know? Imagine where I'm going to hide. Like you, I'm going to be, where'd JoJo go?
I'm like, okay. The one with the Washington one, I think it was a place where there was a Revolutionary War battle. So they may have been experiencing a residual plane of Washington there.
Oh, maybe.
Because it was a spot where, like, it was originally, if I remember the story, it was where there was originally a Revolutionary War battle that Washington was at. Then they had a Civil War battle on that same ground. But I don't remember exactly where it is.
By residual plane, are you talking about, like, there might even be something quantum involved here?
For mine, one of the big things with the ghost stories, too, is because a lot of times there'll be certain eras tend to get, there'll be more activity from that era. So one of the theories is that, because time's not like a straight line, it's more of a curve. And at certain points in time, you can have the two times kind of line up enough where you have a crossover event. Like probably what you experienced at Devil's Den, where you have, you may just have experienced that, just that glitch where you have the two time periods kind of overlap. Just for a split second,
Yeah, and I've read some things about quantum physics where they believe there are other dimensions that are going on at the same time as ours. Yeah. And
that could explain residual, I guess. If it's it's still locked in time there. And with a residual haunting, there's not anything you can do about it. It's gonna just keep playing out.
So it's just something that's left behind?
And there forever, yeah. I mean, if it's a intelligent haunting, I can go in and do a smudging and blessing. And maybe the spirit will be at rest.
Or just leave.
The spirit will go wherever it's going to go and leave, right? But with a residual thing, it's going to play out. Because these things...
The theory with that is because a lot of it, you have our media, it gets recorded on. But there's theory wood, certain types of stone and stuff like that. It's basically that energy gets put into that item. So it will keep replaying. It's like a videotape. It will just... Right place, right time. You can catch that tape playing again.
Yeah, it's something like that. Star Wars, where she would look at that thing and would just show.
Yeah.
Stone tape theory.
Yeah.
And certain materials, like you say, marble, slate, stuff like that, hard rocks, seem to absorb that energy and then replay it at some time. For some people, right person, right place, right time, and. I think maybe Brandon's one of them people, and mediums seem to have that ability. You could be extra sensitive, don't even know it. I mean, your grandma wasn't there or anything, but maybe you are. Maybe it's something that happened in your lifetime. Do you have a near-death experience or anything like that?
No, I've had a couple, but nothing, that...
Didn't change your life?
Put the fear, I'm pretty even-keeled when it comes to that, so... I've been in some situations that were hairy.
Did you think you were skeptical when you were younger of ghosts?
I was definitely skeptical when I was younger. Yeah, and I still am to a certain extent. But I'm fascinated by this idea that the human brain is can do things that we can't even fathom, and how much of that's working and is created by us. And I'll tell you a story. I was hiking on the Appalachian Trail. I do a lot of backpacking, and I did a solo hike. I was by myself, and I'm going up this mountain, and you're seeing all these signs as you are walking. Hey, watch out for bears. There's bears in this area. Blah blah blah. Signs: bears, 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 bears.
So you got bear on the brain.
Yeah, exactly. Well, this is exactly what I'm saying. So I get to the campground, and again, they got bear poles. Hey, bears are around here. All right, cool. But now you go to sleep. I go to sleep. That's in my head.
Yeah.
So I wake up in the middle of the night and I hear this.
The plane snoring.
Well, that's exactly what it was. So I'm instantly in my tent. I'm like, oh, there's a bear outside. Yeah. I'm going to die. Yeah. So now I'm thinking, how am I going to get... there's a restroom that is a structure. And I'm like, all right, how am I going to get... All I have to do is beat the bear in there and I can shut the door. So I'm hearing that noise, that breathing over and over again. And I get out of the tent and I run to the restroom. And about halfway there, I realize, no, it's the guy in the tent next to me snoring. Because when I went to bed, there was nobody in the campground. But apparently... in the hours when I fell asleep, some people would come in, and it was a guy snoring. But my brain was so in tune to bears, bears, bears. And that's why I was talking about the Gettysburg experience, is I know what happened here and I know it's awful. You know, how much of that is my brain just going, okay, well, we're going to recreate it for you. You know, maybe I wanted right. to see that. See what I'm saying?
Yep. Well, let's move into maybe some Michigan, some urban legends here around our area, and then we can talk about that, because the Tulpa and the...
Yes, Tulpa and Egregore. So, like, we're talking about, like, Hell's Bridge is kind of a classic example of... Like, basically, the story is it's supposed to be, like, a guy back, like, in Rockford, before it was Rockford, it was called something else. Like, basically, like, a bunch of kids were getting... disappearing or being murdered, and like the townsfolk are like, well, we need to go find out who this is. So they all go and leave, but they end up leaving the guy watching them. Was the guy that was killing them. That's part of the story. So he took them all out to Hell's Bridge and then killed all the children out there while everybody else was out looking for the murderer. And or I think they catch him and hang him or something. Like they end up catching him like after he kills the kids and hang him there at the big tree or whatever. That's what the story is. Now there's no documentation, there's no evidence, more likely there's no truth to the story whatsoever. But people go out to the bridge and they can hear children screaming or crying or whatever at midnight and stuff like that, or people report seeing kids, you know, spirits out there.
Because that story's been implanted in everybody's yeah. head for yeah. so long.
Yeah. But the thing is like there's been experiments where like people have gone and like they try to create a ghost. So they create they create a ghost story, and they like they these people go, and every day they'll keep telling the story over and over again in this environment. So like they've done it before, like they've had people go in and do EVP sessions. So like the stuff that was a part of the story, the spirit would respond to it. But if they ask questions that aren't related to the story that was made up, the spirit couldn't respond to it. So it's kind of like they actually, because like we are spirits ourselves, we can create and give birth to spirits in the spiritual realm.
That's some pretty heavy
stuff. So some of the stuff, like at some of these places, it might not actually be that person. It may be a creation of other people of that person. You know, like it's what other people think that person is. That might be what's actually there, not actually the ghost of that person.
Yeah.
People go out to Hell's Bridge, they do seances, they're putting all this energy towards this thing, and well, now there is a thing.
But. And that's that I find that to be fascinating, because you're absolutely yeah. right. You know, in every neighborhood, I'm sure, in America, there's a story about some guy or something that happened here. And you believe it so much that... So what you're saying is that people believe it so much they created it.
Yeah. Some people believe poltergeist is that kind of activity, where it's a lot of frustration for adolescents. And they're creating that through their mind, all this activity.
Yeah, it's like a lot of those. There's been a lot of cases where people like you have a bunch of weird activity going, so they'll go and remove one person at a time out and like kind of wait until see when it stops. So like, who are you removing out that makes the activity stop? And it's usually like a lot of time would be, sometimes it's a little bit older, but usually kind of, you know, teenage, usually tends to be more female. But it's like that, you know, that puberty kind of spiritual energy, because you have, like, teenagers is kind of a rough, transformative time where, like,
right.
you know, you got all that hormones and everything going on that, you know, and school isn't always the most easiest.
Plus, I think when you're a teenager, too, you don't, like, we all have a lot of preconceived notions about what the world is because we've lived through it. Mm-hmm. Teenagers don't, so yeah. they're kind of finding it out.
Yeah, they're kind of, you know, that transition from childhood to adulthood, and then
yeah.
you're trying to make, you're basically creating your identity at that, you know, forming your identity.
I have a whole page of real world explanations of ghost activity, things that can create, rather than the spirit itself, a sense presence. The brain can produce someone, say you're in an area, you're trapped, and you're real cold. It's like you a God type thing comes and helps you, but it's just created out of your brains what they're saying. I think the weirdest thing that we ever tried to explain ghost activity for was RSPK, recurrent spontaneous psychokinesis is one, but CTE disease is another one, where this guy had so many concussions
Oh, that's the thing that football players get, isn't it?
And he was seeing, and he was doing things at night, and I think he had no recollection of it. But I think that's after 13 concussions, he wasn't thinking straightly anymore, and things were happening in his mind. That
See, and that fascinates me. The human mind fascinates me. The brain, when it's damaged like that, that, you know, and that's, I mean, CTE, people who have had that have reported, you know, seeing all sorts of weird stuff.
Yeah. That was the weirdest one I think that we ever came across for an explanation of ghost activity. And there's no way of really, there's no way of treating it. CTE, there's no way. I mean, just you have it. And
well, sometimes I don't even think they know you. I don't think they can find out you have it until you die.
Yeah.
Can't officially diagnose it. Yeah, until the autopsy day.
You had an urban legend you had told me about years ago about this gas station. I don't know. And you said,
is that the one on Wealthy?
They were doing lipstick.
Yeah.
On the wall. And I went and checked it out too, that urban legend. No, I didn't see anything.
It was lipstick or was it fingernail polish?
Fingernail polish, right. Yeah. I think it was.
And I think somebody inhabits that building now. I think somebody moved into it. It was abandoned. It was at Wealthy.
You got me creeping around there.
Yeah, I told you about it.
That night, I'm thinking, I'm going to get
because there was a story, there was what he was telling about. What do you call that?
Tulpa.
Yeah.
Tulpa. Basically, the difference between a tulpa.
T-U-L-P-A.
A tulpa is like a spirit that a single person creates.
Okay.
An egregore is if a group of people are putting faith and confidence in it.
This would be, the second.
Yeah.
This is, again, an urban legend that some kid had died or was killed somehow, either trespassing and got shot or something. I don't know what happened, but he supposedly haunts it and then does something with fingernail polish. But then again, you know, could be anybody going around there. But that's a place that just feels creepy.
It felt creepy anyway. When I was wandering around there, I thought I'm gonna get arrested or mugged or something wandering around this building. There was nobody there, and usually I get permission. I used to be crazy and not get permission every place I went, but I try to get permission. Some more Michigan monsters, though. There was a DJ that came up with this song, "The Legend of the Dog Man," in 1987.
I don't know about the song, but I have heard "The Legend of the Dog Man."
DJ at WTCM, Steve Cook.
Okay.
He wrote this song that described the legend, and then next thing you know, it's spreading all over the place. It started out as the Michigan Dog Man. But then they're getting reports from other states, too.
Yeah. And there had been sightings even before, because that was kind of inspired by, like, sightings people had. But after that came out, more people started reporting their sightings. But there are cases where you do have, like, the tulpa thing. I think one of the classic examples is, like, the Slender Man. So if you go back to where the Slender Man came from, it was, they had, like, a picture contest of who could create the most, like, terrifying work of art kind of a thing, like a fictional creature or whatever. So that's where the Slender Man came. But then all of a sudden after that, Slender Man. After that, all of a sudden there started being reports of people seeing Slender Man. Because now all of a sudden you've created a tulpa that, you know, you're giving this thing, this kind of thing, energy too.
So, and wasn't there a real life stabbing?
Yeah, I think somebody
Somebody said they were motivated by the Slender Man. Yeah.
I'm always learning new things on your show, Jojo.
Okay.
And yep. FGR is keeping me informed. Today is donut day.
Today is donut day.
Last week I was watching, you were talking about superstitions.
Yes.
Now, do you believe in any superstitions?
I'm not superstitious, but I know people who are. And they're very... People who are superstitious, and we get back to how the human brain works. And that is, if someone feels protected by something, I don't have a problem with them keeping that around. And a couple people, did you listen to some of the calls I called in? I think one guy called in and said his dad, he holds on to his dad's, something his dad gave him.
Oh. Yeah.
And I thought, okay, well, that's kind of supernatural because, you know, in a way, because, but he feels that bond with his dad by having it. And he feels like it brings him luck. So.
Yeah, some people believe good luck and bad luck are the same sign or whatever. Like owls, seeing an owl.
Somebody thought that was weird.
Yeah, you talked about that. They talked about that. It's supposed to mean death.
Right.
But now this gal wrote this book, she wants it to mean good luck.
Well, it'd be good luck, but a lot of times with alien abduction stories, a lot of times they use the owl as a cloaking device.
Oh.
So, like, the person will remember seeing an owl, and then they go do, like, a past life, or they do a regression, and then they find out it was, like, an alien, but they use the owl as, like, a dissembled as, so their brain remembers the owl and not the alien, like, in a lot of
I did not know
cases.
That.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
You also did on your show, you like to do This Day in History.
Right.
And I think it was May 26th. So, in 1647, Alice Young was sent to the gallows. She was the first witch.
She was the first witch that died at Salem, yeah. Which was that's a very dark period of time.
I had, for Salem, I had the witch trials that the 19 people were hanged. One was pressed to death. I think that's where they put like a board on you and piled stones on it. Yikes.
Well,
yeah, I think that was Giles Corey.
You know, that was
the one that got pressed because, like, until you confess, we're going to keep adding stones on there. He wanted to confess. You know, because, of course, he wasn't.
Of course, if you confess, they just kill you anyway.
Yeah. No, like, usually in that type of situation, if you confess to it, usually they want you to give other people's names.
So
that way they can go after other people.
Okay.
They will,
and their property.
If you confess and you repent of your sins, usually they would let you off. But you would have to confess to being a witch.
Right.
So you would have to lie and say you're a witch if you're not a witch. So most of these people, as, you know, as Christians, they're like, I'm not going to lie and say that I'm a witch when I'm not a witch.
Yeah, that was a catch 22.
What was the
old Monty Python joke? The joke was we set you on fire. If you if you burn to death, you weren't a witch. You are, and we're gonna kill you anyway.
That was about it. Right.
Well, it's like in Europe, that's what they used to do. Is they would drown them, and like if you floated, you were a witch. But if you did stay then you weren't. You weren't a witch.
If you drowned, we dunk you in water, and if you drowned, you weren't a witch. So. You go to heaven, I guess.
Yeah. So I'm learning lots of things on your show.
But the witch trials is interesting, too, because we were talking about the influence. I think a lot of that was driven by teenage girls, was it not?
Mm-hmm. I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, just talking amongst themselves, and they had little vendettas out.
Yeah.
Because teenage girls could be nasty.
Well, a lot of the theories, too, was because if you look at what's going on, there were kind of different cliques of people in Salem.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, a lot of it, if you really go, because it's the parents are going after the other people's land.
Right.
They want the other land, because when you're a witch, you lose that land. And then the other people can go, because that's what was happening, is you had one group, they're using the daughters and the witchcraft to go and steal land that they want.
Yeah.
That's
property,
a lot of what was
happening.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, we've been here about an hour already. We need to move quickly now into the bottom part of the show. Shout out. We always do a shout out, and our last guest was Esther Joy. And I do a shout out to Tyler, our tech guy. Without him, we wouldn't be here. Kim, our co-host, couldn't make it tonight again. Mm-hmm. And then Tanya, she's our co-host from Ohio now. We zoom her in, but we weren't able to make that happen tonight. Anybody you want to give a shout out to? Maybe
No, I'm good.
And then upcoming and ongoing, the next guest will be Exie, Suzanne Bruce Smith, and this is her latest book, Dialogue with the Dead. She has three other books out too, but we'll be talking to her at the end of the month. We're going to Zoom that show. Everybody's Zooming, so we won't be back here in the studio, but that it will be my next guest. I don't know if Brandon's doing anything in between there.
That'll be the next guest for the show as of right now, because I was kind of in the middle of job hunting, so I've been holding off on planning podcasts because I didn't know what my new work schedule would be, so... But now I just landed a new job, so gonna be
excellent. All right, congratulations.
So I'll have a lot more free time to actually be able to schedule stuff because I won't be in retail, where you never know when your free time is gonna be.
Upcoming, Jack Bouchon. He was a meteorologist who, in 1994, reported the UFOs, and then took so much grief because of it because no one would back him on it. Now he's been vindicated after all these years, now that the government's releasing things that said, oh, we were covering this up. So he's supposed to be on the show, but he's got a Netflix thing coming out first that under contract he can't talk about.
I think he's going to be on an episode of Unsolved Mysteries. So,
yep.
So he can't, under contract, he can't until after the episode's out.
So we're looking forward to him. Right, and then you'll be on TV, Comcast Channel 25 and U-verse 99. They... they televise our show twice a week. So I'll let you know.
Okay.
I'll send you an email and that's going to happen. But my thing, my pet project has been the 988 number. You familiar with that?
No.
That's the new suicide hotline that's going into effect. It's been mandated by next month. Everyone's supposed to be. There's still a few states that are dragging behind and getting this. So your suicide hotline is just a 3-digit number.
Oh, that's very good.
This is going to help a lot of people out.
It is.
Because over 2 million people, you know, called in the old number, 800-273-8255. And then what, if we get a 3-digit number, it's going to help people. And then if you're a veteran, once you get a hold of the hotline, just dial 1. And you've got special things because we lose a veteran. We lose one veteran per hour.
Yeah.
Just about. That's just about what it is. So a final thought. We always do a final thought so we get everybody involved. Usually it's more people. But what do you think you're most likely to encounter? My grandfather, when he was telling me about ghosts, how to be a ghost hunter when I was 5 years old, he said, and I use this for the intro, keep an open mind about things that you might not easily believe, even things like vampires is what he told me at 5 years old, 4 or 5, whatever I was. What do you think you're most likely to encounter? A vampire, a witch, an alien, or Bigfoot?
I would say a witch. Because witches, there are people...
I think you're right. I think there's a lot of witches out there.
I think there's people who are proud of being witches, are they not? Right?
Yes.
Yeah, I would say a witch.
Yeah. And maybe less likely to encounter? What? Vampire, maybe?
There are people that do identify as vampires, but whether... There are psychic vampires, but I don't think there's any like...
Witch, alien, or Bigfoot?
I would say an alien before a vampire.
Oh. Oh, really? Less likely to...
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
I would go witch... What's the third?
Yeah. Vampire, witch, alien, or Bigfoot?
I would go witch, alien, vampire, Bigfoot.
Okay. Now, Brandon V might see Bigfoot. He's hanging out and he's doing Bigfoot training up north.
I'd probably go witch. Maybe Bigfoot, alien pretty close for second, and then vampire last.
Yeah. Now, because my grandfather told me to keep an open mind about things like vampires, I studied them. You know, when I was going to become a ghost hunter, that was one of my things that I studied was vampires, just in case. But I kind of know what to look for. But I'm hoping I never run into one. I'm thinking witches are all over the place.
I've seen people who you look at them and you go, that guy might be a vampire.
Yeah, no doubt. Or that guy might be an alien. Yeah. I've seen people like that. I think aliens are imminent, just around the corner. So that's going to happen. Then we do a inspirational thought. And this one here, I'm going to read it and then see if you might have a guess where it came from. Put your head down and work hard. Never wait for things to happen. Make them happen for yourself through graft, G-R-A-F-T, and not giving up. Now, graft, this is like from another language. It means hard work, trying your best every time. So who do you think might have said that? Put your head down, and they use the graft.
So it's got to be older guy, right?
Yeah, older. You actually have a personal experience with this person. That's the reason I included this inspirational thought. This is from your TV personality days.
Really?
Yeah. I was sitting at home, my wife and I, and we're sitting there, we're watching Kitchen Nightmares.
Oh!
And I go, Brenda, that's JoJo. She goes, are you sure? I go, yeah, I know. It's JoJo Gerard right there.
Is that Gordon Ramsay who said that then?
Gordon Ramsay said that, right. So you were on an episode. Yeah,
I was on an episode of Kitchen Nightmares. That was an interesting thing because usually his problems deal with bad cooks or they have to redo the menu or stuff. But this particular person in Baltimore, when I lived there, she had a PR problem.
Yeah, she had a bad rap.
She had some bad things that were perceived about her in the community, and she had to apologize for some things. So
yeah,
he used us to, you know, kind of as a microphone.
Yep.
But he's an interesting cat. He's a good guy, though.
I was wondering if you got to talk
yeah,
to him.
Yeah, yeah. He's actually really nice, which is weird because usually...
He swears.
I'm not cooking in front of him.
Yeah,
so.
Cussing you out.
Yeah.
F this and F that, right? But so that was the inspirational thought for you. But for everyone else, and then the show's over, here's the inspirational thought. It is for us, the living, to be dedicated to the unfinished work. And that was... November 19th, 1863, by Abraham Lincoln in the Gettysburg Address. So it's that unfinished work. It's our responsibility, because I think it's still unfinished.
Yeah, it is. And it always will be. I don't think we'll ever be a finished product, right?
Yeah.
Man evolves, but he also... There's a yin-yang there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we're still working on it. So.
Yeah, we are.
Jojo Gerard... Our personality for radio and TV. It was my pleasure, buddy. It was my honor.
Well, Wayne, thanks for having me, man. I enjoyed this.
Yep.
And Brandon.
Brandon.
Nice to meet you.
It's always good to see you.
Yeah.
Peace out, everybody. Good show.
Family-owned Palermo Pizza underwrites this episode of Grand Rapids Ghost Hunters Paranormal Podcast, located at 901 Gazan Parkway, Southwest Wyoming, and available at 616-531-8300.
The opinions expressed in the preceding program are those of the producer and not necessarily those of WKTV Community Media.